Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. It truly can't be understated the steps that Donald Trump and the Trump administration has taken over the past, 9 months or so now, since he regained power, to consolidate his own power within the executive branch and to move towards silencing dissidents or silencing his opponents. He has made moves to punish those who have been against him politically in the past. And he is making moves to punish those who speak against him in the present and in the future. Just recently, we've mentioned things like classifying Antifa as a terrorist organization, even though there is no organization known as Antifa. There have been these attempts to give his administration, to give Marco Rubio power to remove people's passports under no real legal rule, but more just because Rubio decides to, because he doesn't like them, because he says that they speak out against Israel or whatever it might be. And they always link it back to terrorism. Now, this harkens back to the post 9/11 days with George Bush, when he took a harsh stance on the idea of terrorism, domestic terrorism, and he upped surveillance, right? It was this huge breach of privacy at that time, and I think few probably paid close attention. I know I didn't. I was 11 years old. But it was a moment in which, the president took advantage of a situation to more closely surveil U.S. citizens. And because terrorism, which everyone can agree is awful and something that we should protect against, became sort of the key word, the scapegoat word that allowed for presidents and administrations to destroy civil liberties, to go beyond what is reasonable against its own citizens in an effort to stop said terrorism. Well, of course, today the Trump administration is taking that a step beyond and again is using the idea of terrorism, domestic terrorism, to destroy civil liberties, to destroy freedom of speech, and go after those who essentially don't bow to him. Something called the NSPM-7 was released or announced last week, and in the mainstream media, it's received relatively little, if basically no, fanfare at all. It's definitely made its way around the internet amongst people who are paying attention, and thankfully, there are independent reporters and journalists who report on this type of thing and lay it out and make it simple for us to understand, because the zone is being flooded, because there is so much being done and released and said every day, it can be hard to catch it all. And at the same time, many of us, for our mental health, don't want to catch it all. And that's the whole purpose of flooding the zone, is making sure that stuff slips through unnoticed and, bog up the legal system. So this NSPM-7, there is a journalist named Ken Klippenstein, and he has written an article here entitled "Trump's NSPM-7 Labels Common Beliefs as Terrorism Indicators." I took a screenshot of these supposed indicators and sent it to my friend group, the one I talk about here frequently. And Johnny responded and said, "I didn't see any of this in NSPM-7, and I read that." And I think it highlights just how sneakily they can add things in. They can talk about things in a way that, they being the administration, in a way that makes it seem innocuous, that makes it seem like not a huge deal. But behind the scenes, it has huge impacts and huge implications for the consequences and how it could actually be laid out. So yeah, let's talk about this a little bit. So first of all, these are things that are normally not announced to the public. They're often kept secret. Cannon, in his article, makes mention of the fact that many people mistakenly called this an executive order. And I'm actually going to read what they said here. To the extent that the major media noticed the directive at all, they, even C-SPAN, incorrectly labeled it as an executive order, like this week's designation of Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization. It's hard to overstate how much different NSPM7 is from the over 200 executive orders Trump has frantically signed since coming back into office. It goes on to say, an executive order publicly lays out the course of day-to-day federal government operations, whereas a national security directive, which is what NSPM 7 is a sweeping policy decree for the defense, foreign policy, intelligence, and law enforcement apparatus. National security directives are often secret, but in this case, the Trump administration chose to publish it, only the seventh since he's come into office. I referred earlier to George W. Bush and the surveillance after 9/11. That was one of these national security directives. And Ken talks about that a little bit here in the article as well. By the way, NSPM stands for National Security Presidential Memorandum. And Trump's Homeland Security Advisor, Stephen Miller, says, this is the first time in American history that there is an all-of-government effort to dismantle left-wing terrorism. But we don't need to get into the stats about left-wing terrorism versus right-wing terrorism. I'll just briefly say that if you look at any credible source, left-wing terrorism is minimal compared to right-wing terrorism. It was something like 85% versus 15% of terrorism that comes, or political violence that comes from the right-wing versus the left-wing. It's also interesting if you look at a chart of violence or political violence over time from the left wing versus the right wing. It shows that left wing violence is basically down in the, you know, in the dirt. There's basically nothing, where right wing violence fluctuates at a much higher rate. And then magically this year, right wing violence takes a nosedive down to essentially zero, and left wing violence takes a large uptick. Is that because that's what's actually happening? Or is that because Donald Trump's administration, like with every other data point they possibly can, you know, they've manipulated the data? They've redefined what left-wing versus right-wing violence might be, or reclassified. Essentially, it is bogus. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, but one of the most frustrating things about this is that they can simply change the data, remove the data, stop collecting the data, and we can't trust what we see anymore unless it is independently verified or was, you know, verified before this administration. Data suddenly becomes unusable. All right, moving on to the main point. Let's talk here about what is this NSPM 7? What are they saying and who are they targeting? They've titled it Countering Domestic Terrorism and Organized Political Violence. In it, President Trump directs the Justice Department, the FBI, and other national security agencies and departments to fight his version of political violence in America, retooling a network of joint terrorism task forces to focus on, quote, leftist political violence in America. This vast counterterrorism army, made up of federal, state, and local agents, would, as Trump aide Stephen Miller said, form the central hub of that effort. I'm reading this, by the way, from Ken's article. NSPM 7 directs a new national strategy to disrupt any individual or groups that foment political violence, including before they result in violent political acts. This is another one of those aspects of terrorism that administrations cling on to, essentially being able to say that we can arrest for the crime before it's committed. And, I don't think that they are going to need necessarily any actual proof of planning some sort of terrorist act like might be expected in the past, which, yes, I think that they should arrest someone who is actively planning, you know, and there's evidence of them making plans or discussing with someone that they're going to carry out a terrorist attack. Yes, that should be stopped. But this gets into something much worse. Maybe you've seen Minority Report. Maybe you've seen the television show Person of Interest. But basically, they are starting to say that they can presume criminal activity before it happens and due to certain indicators. And we're going to read through what those indicators are now. And just to make it clear, They're saying if people have these indicators, that may show that they are going to commit terrorism, that they are going to commit crimes, and they should be stopped before they're able to. Here they are. Anti-Americanism, anti-capitalism, anti-Christianity, support for the overthrow of the United States government, extremism on migration, extremism on race, extremism on gender, hostility towards those who hold traditional American views on family, hostility towards those who hold traditional American views on religion, and hostility towards those who hold traditional American views on morality. The directive goes on to state, the United States requires a national strategy to investigate and disrupt networks, entities, and organizations that foment political violence so that law enforcement can intervene in criminal conspiracies before they result in violent political acts. It also goes on to say, in the article, the focus on speech is evident throughout NSPM 7. The directive says that political violence is the result of organized campaigns that often begin with the left dehumanizing targets in anonymous chat forums, in-person meetings, social media, and even educational institutions. It says, to give a sense of how broad this formulation is, Trump's earlier designation of Antifa as a domestic terrorist group was accompanied by a White House fact sheet singling out people who, quote, celebrated Luigi Mangione, the alleged killer of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson last December. So the list that I just read out of the different indicators was the list that I had sent to the friend group where Johnny said I didn't see that. And I think why that's so interesting, you know, Ken has listed it out here in a bullet point list, whereas the Trump administration has buried it inside the NSPM 7 document. I'm actually going to read directly from the document now so that you can hear how they put it within the document itself. This is in section one, a few paragraphs in. It says, there are common recurrent motivations and indicia, I'm not sure they meant to say, basically they're saying indicators, uniting this pattern of violent and terroristic activities under the umbrella of self-described anti-fascism. These movements portray foundational American principles, for example, support for law enforcement and border control, as fascist to justify and encourage acts of violent revolution. This anti-fascist lie has become the organizing rallying cry used by domestic terrorists to wage a violent assault against democratic institutions, constitutional rights, and fundamental American liberties. Common threads animating this violent conduct include anti-Americanism, anti-capitalism, and anti-Christianity, support for the overthrow of the United States government, extremism on migration, race, and gender, and hostility towards those who hold traditional American views on family, religion, and morality. As described in the order of September 22, 2025, designating Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization, the groups and entities that perpetuate this extremism have created a movement that embraces and elevates violence to achieve policy outcomes, including justifying additional assassinations. For example, Charlie Kirk's alleged assassin engraved the bullets used in the murder with so-called anti-fascist rhetoric. All right. Engravings on the bullets aside and, taking that for what it's worth, we have to be real about what this means. I saw someone discussing this on, I think it was Reddit somewhere, on a different subreddit outside of Collapse. I think it was the Behind the Bastards subreddit or one of those. And someone was like, well, this is silly because there's simply no way that they will be able to have the resources necessary to be able to fully enforce this. They only have, a fraction of the Joint Terrorism Task Force and FBI agents and such that they would need to be able to monitor the millions of billions of pieces of communication that are happening and the number, of hundreds of thousands or millions of people who are speaking this way. I mean, anti-Christianity, come on. Being anti-capitalist is a terrorist indicator. What does extremism on gender even mean? What does extremism on race mean? Or migration? I see those things and I think of the right. I don't think of the left. Hostility towards those who hold traditional American views on family, religion, and morality? What number of people in the U.S. might hold these ideas or speak about them openly? So that person is right in the forum who said that they don't have the capacity to enforce this on everyone. But I don't think that was ever the goal and never will be. The goal is to be able to use this against anyone who they do want, right? Anyone who they decide is speaking out against, you know, the administration, anyone who's causing trouble, anyone with a large following, anyone who is running against anyone on the right in, from a political standpoint. So we are talking about politicians, about journalists, about protesters. In the past, if you were to, you know, arrest a protester or detain a protester, there was no real legal basis for which to hold them. You would snatch them, you know, they would put them in a van and take them down to the jail or detention center or whatever, police station, and they'd be out within 4 to 6 hours. Well, now with this type of rhetoric, with this type of, I shouldn't even just say rhetoric, but this type of policy that is being put in place, they are saying, well, now that protester can be held. And if we find anything that shows any sort of anti-capitalism or anti-Christianity, and just the fact of protesting against, you know, the government in general must mean that they are all of these things, and therefore we must stop them now because they are potential terrorists. This is a vaguely worded effort to shut down literally anyone that they want. And if the right, who may be cheering this on, right, who are saying, yeah, shut those protesters down, they're protesting ICE, get them out of here, they're terrorists, if they are cheering that on, I think they've got a whole other thing coming, to not realize that this always comes back home. Well, basically, the oppression that we serve abroad is going to come home. But in the same way, the oppression that's served to the left will also be served to the right. This is fascism. I mean, it's in the literal definition of fascism. Just doing a quick Google search of fascism now, there's a few core ideological tenets that it talks about. One of those is suppression of opposition. All political opposition and dissent are forcibly suppressed, often through a police state and the use of organized terror, which is so ironic because it's all in the, you know, the name of stopping terrorism. Scapegoating, using xenophobia to create an in-group and out-group, blaming marginalized populations, ethnic minorities, and immigrants for national problems. Opposition to liberal democracy. Fascism rejects the principles of liberal democracy, individual rights, and political pluralism. It is fundamentally anti-communist, anti-liberal, and often anti-conservative. Can conservatives actually look at what's going on and tell themselves that what this administration is doing is true to conservative values? With some of the rhetoric in NSPM 7, it sure might look that way, right? Because they're threatening those who go against the traditional view of American values, morality, family, religion. But it's a charade. It's not what it's actually about. And I think we and they are going to find that out. Now, we haven't seen any of this enforced, used yet, right? This is brand new. This and the Antifa declaration and all of that. It will be interesting to see how it plays out first. Do they go after someone like Mamdani, who's running for mayor in New York? Do they use this against media personnel? Do they use this against protesters? Keep your eyes open, be aware, watch, and we will talk more about this as we see it being used. And maybe it's, I don't know, hypocritical to say this. I don't know if hypocrisy is the right word. But protect yourselves online. Be careful about what you say, who you say it to. There's the whole principle of gray man and, you know, for self-protection, not putting yourself out there too far. And I think I'll end the episode on that note, in that each person has to make their own decision about who they're going to be and what they're going to stand or not stand for. I think it's the constant battle that each person has. And I've talked to my friend group about this. Is it best to stand up and say and call it out, show what's wrong, and refuse to back down at risk of personal peril, putting yourself in jeopardy, even though it may be useless, it may be for nothing? If everybody stood up and called it out, would it change anything? Would it give power back to the people to stop this? Or is it foolish? I've contemplated on this a lot, and the truth is I don't know. For myself, I refuse to back down and just stay quiet and disappear. You know, I personally don't have a massive audience. I don't think I'm very high up on that list, but one day I might find myself on a list. But each person has to and should make that decision for themselves and decide what they are willing and not willing to sacrifice and what they have at stake, what is important to them, how they can best protect it. And I hold no judgment against anyone for whatever decision they make in that regard. But for now, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Take care of yourselves, take care of your families, and let's work together towards a better future.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.